Hello and welcome to The Cryptid Catalog, a podcast for monster lovers young and old. Before we jump in, I want to mention some of the themes in today's story. Cryptid Catalog tries to cover stories in a kid-friendly manner, but every listener has different thresholds. So to make sure this story is suitable for your listeners, here are some things that you can expect to hear in today's story. Today's show contains people being eaten. If all that sounds intriguing, then sit back, get a little cozy, and come with us as we open up the Cryptid Catalog. Killian, picture this. You're on a trip to Australia. The summer air is warm, and the river you find yourself next to is rushing by. A large tree limb goes bobbing up and down in the water, and then you realize that something is hiding behind it. Without warning, a furry, dog-like head with massive tusks and glowing red eyes explode out of the water with a roar. Killian, what is this creature?
A minotaur.
No, that was a good guess, though.
Because you said tusks and dog head, because they always are half animal, half human.
You are correct, but that's not what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about the bunny yip.
The bunyip?
Yeah.
Just kidding. It is the bunyip.
What?
Yep, let's open up the Cryptid Catalog and find out more. Yeah. So, before we start, I want to give a huge thank you to our Australian friend, Jules.
Jules!
Yeah, not the Jules you know.
Oh.
One from Australia. They wrote a review on Apple Podcasts saying that the podcast was fun and they shared a cryptid from Down Under, which is the bunyip. So, thank you, Jules, and we hope you enjoy it. So, the bunyip. What do you think it is?
A bunny? Yips.
Bunny that yips. So not necessarily. So well, you're gonna find out that the bunyip can be several different kinds of creatures, because the going theory is that the bunyip is an ancient Australian Aboriginal spirit.
Does it shapeshift?
Well, hold on. Before we start that, do you know what the word Aboriginal means?
No.
Okay. Perfect. So Aboriginal is the name given to the indigenous peoples of Australia, those who were there before European colonists arrived as explorers in the early 1600s and then again as colonizers in 1788. So just like the Native American and indigenous peoples of Americas, Australia still has an Aboriginal population today. So.
I didn't understand a word you just said.
Okay, I'll break it down for you then. So you know how we learned that the Native Americans and people lived here before in America, before the colonists came over and took the land and all that stuff?
The pilgrims?
Correct. Just like that, there are indigenous people in... Oh, I just hit the thing. There are indigenous people in Australia who lived there before people from Europe colonized Australia.
Oh.
So it's like it's people who lived there first, essentially, and they're called Aboriginal, and they're the indigenous peoples. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So much of recent human history is about European nations coming in to steal and colonize indigenous people's land. It's crazy to think about, but as always, it's an important thing to know and learn. So we bring up colonizers because they interacted with the Aboriginal people, and through these interactions, we get several different descriptions of what the bunyip is. So I believe all stories have the bunyip, though, as large as a rhino, just to give you a comparison to size. So
I think he's as large as...
It just says as a rhino.
I think he's larger than a hippo.
Okay, yeah. Hippos and rhinos are pretty comparable. So yeah, I'll give you that. So some accounts say that the bunyip is a dog-like creature with thick black fur and a horse-like tail.
I have a question.
What's June doing?
I have a question.
Oh, what is your question? I'm so sorry.
Why is it called the bunyip and not the dogyip? Because it's with a bunny.
Well, I don't think the word bunyip has anything to do with bunny. It just looks like that to us. Does that make sense?
I think they're saying bun. I think their language in bun. I think it's like dog. I think they're saying dog.
Well, hold
bun.
On. Well, maybe, or maybe because they don't know necessarily what it is. Because look, if you're listening, only some people say the bunyip is dog-like. Other people say it's different. So hold on a second. So
slippers and wallet flippers.
Don't read ahead.
I am reading.
No,
ahead.
Don't.
I am.
Some accounts say that the bunyip is a dog-like creature with thick black fur and a horse-like tail, with flippers and walrus-like tusks. Some say it has a crocodile's head with a duck bill mouth and a horse's body. Some say it's a giant bearded snake. So it's got nothing to do with bunnies. It looks like a bunch of different stuff to a bunch of different people.
Uh-huh. I think it's like shapeshifts.
Ooh.
Like, so we call it. So his other name is It. Because you don't know what. He doesn't only have one form.
Oh, okay.
He has a bunch of other forms like Pennywise. Just giving Pennywise advice.
No, Pennywise facts, not advice.
Pennywise.
Facts. Perfect.
Sorry. Take that advice part away.
All right. There are several accounts of a massive octopus-like creature with a massive seal-like head.
Seal-like head?
There is a more humanoid version, though, that looks like a toad person. Very similar to...
The Loveland Frogman.
Very good.
Which goes very way back... Which goes way back.
Yes. So what if the Loveland Frogman was really just a bunyip on vacation in Ohio? Maybe it was trying to visit Fiona at the zoo.
What? What? No.
Killian, tell the listeners who Fiona is.
Fiona's my favorite hippo.
And where does she live?
Cincinnati.
And how many times have you visited her?
10.
Three. And
I
she
love
has
her
a
so much.
And she has a little brother.
Fritz. Fritz is crazy.
Yes, Fritz is crazy. Killian.
Fritz keeps biting BB's butt.
That's his daddy. No, it's mommy, sorry.
Yeah, Tucker's the dad.
It is a family of hippos that lives at the Cincinnati Zoo. Fiona is famous because she was a premature hippo. But anyway, Killian...
She was the first hippo to be born.
Oh, not to be born ever. but Killian and his grandmother are obsessed with these hippos.
We watch videos of the hippos every single day.
Yeah. All right. So but that's all fine and good. But let's get back to the bunyip, okay?
Okay. This is not a hippo episode.
It's not a hippo episode. And they're not cryptids. So... Why do you think there are several different versions of the bunyip? Do you have any ideas? Any theories?
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Like, do you have any theories, like any thoughts of why you think everybody thinks it looks different?
Well, I think... So, around the country, I think, like, if they ever saw one, I think they, like, they're shape-shifting.
So your theory is the shape-shifting one.
So, my other theory is the one where he only has one form.
Okay. All right. So stick with me on this one because I promise all this is going to make a point in a second. How many different Aboriginal languages do you think existed in Australia prior to colonization? Give a guessing number.
13?
13 seems like a lot. Can I tell you what the actual answer is?
What?
230. Isn't that crazy? That means that there are roughly 230 different groups of Aboriginal peoples who each had their own set of stories and folklore to pass down to their children. Mm. Now, how big do you think Australia is?
I know how big their spiders are.
Oh, girl, me too. Me too.
They are bigger than daddy.
So maybe, but listen, and that's the exact reason mommy is hesitant to visit.
They're bigger than the Grinch's heart.
Well, yeah, the Grinch's heart's pretty small.
No, but never at the end.
Oh, at the end. How big do you think Australia, though, is?
This big.
Okay, so it's almost as big as the entire United States. Isn't that crazy? All of Europe can fit inside of the landmass of Australia. Like, that's how big it is. Australia is massive. So with at least 230 different groups of Aboriginal peoples who lived...
Let me look at the map. Let me see.
The map is covered right now.
The map isn't going to make it look like it's as big, maybe. Maps are kind of funny like that.
Yeah. So with at least 230 different groups of Aboriginal peoples who live across Australia's forests, deserts, savannas, rainforests, and coral reefs. I said reef like a Christmas tree. Reefs. There are bound to be hundreds of different variations of the bunyip. This is because the bunyip is widely regarded as a spirit-like creature that can take the form of the surrounding areas, which means he is a... Say it. Your theory was right. Shapeshifter. So the octopus-like bunyip probably appeared in the villages near the Great Barrier Reef. The dog-like bunyip popped up near the forested regions and deserts. And the snake one probably slithered up on the people in the desert.
Yeah, because look, because snakes can camouflage
anything. I don't know about anything, but you're right.
Because they can camouflage into grass.
True.
In sand.
True.
And cobras are, every single snake in the snake family has that gift.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. So now, oftentimes when Aboriginal people share their folklore with European explorers or colonizers, the European peoples don't pay their stories much mind. But Australia is very different from other regions Europeans colonized. Australia has some strange creatures like the platypus, which has the body of an otter, the tail of a beaver, and the bill of a duck. So if someone told you there was a dog with tusks, a horse tail, and flippers that like to eat people, and then you saw a platypus swim by, you'd probably believe the Aboriginal people too.
Well, guess what?
What?
If I saw all those things all mixed together, there would be a crazy bunyip.
A bunyip. Oh, if you all those, yeah.
Yeah, bunyip.
But you know that some people probably, before they saw a platypus,
he would be thought huge. He would be like this big, and his tail would be so big that he could splat people in his way.
Whoa. But did you hear what I was about to say? Do you think that maybe some people who didn't live in an area where there were platypuses? Platypuses. Do you think that maybe if someone told them about platypus, they might be like, oh, that must be a cryptid. That can't be real. Because think about it. Platypus are a mixture of different things.
The most amazing platypus is Perry.
Perry the platypus. Yes. But there existed a world before Perry the Platypus existed on TV where some people might have thought that platypuses were completely fake. Isn't that weird to think about? That's just, it's a fine line between cryptid and just you never seeing the animal before. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That was a snap. Killian snapped like 90s style, like run and tell that. Anyway. So, what does the bunyip do? Typically, the bunyip eats people, kills them, or scares them so bad that they don't go near the dangerous area ever again.
Guess what?
What?
If they scare them, like, really, really, really good, they actually die.
You can die from being scared too much. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So, are you ready to hear like two small stories about the bunyip?
Wow.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. There once was a young woman who had been told several times not to go to the river at night or the bunyip would get her. Normally, the young woman followed the rules of her village. But one night, she had to go to the river to fetch water for drinking. As she bent down to fill a pitcher with water, two red eyes appeared from the depths. Before she could even comprehend what was happening, her arms were bitten into and ripped from her shoulders, blood spewing across the muddy shore. She raced back to her village, screaming in pain. The next morning, the villagers searched the area where the woman had been attacked, and the only thing that they could find was a blood-covered feather, possibly belonging to the Bunyip.
Second story!
All right.
Ta-da!
Why are you yelling?
I just love yelling.
Okay. All right, here's the other one.
Don't take a person.
An explorer was driving his steamboat up one of Australia's many rivers when suddenly he saw a large furry beast standing in the way of his boat. Raising his gun to shoot at the creature, an Aboriginal guide begged...
No, do not shoot the creature!
Well, you're right along here. Look, an Aboriginal guide begged the explorer to stop. Not caring what the guide had to say, the explorer shot the beast, scaring it off. The guide told him that those who attack the Bunyip die. That night, the explorer got very sick, and before dawn, he was dead.
Ding.
So,
church bell.
Church bell.
Ding.
So that's the Bunyip, a strange beast-like spirit of the Australian wilderness. So what do you think? What do you think about the Bunyip?
Let me give you some advice, people.
For someone who's never been to Australia.
From Beetlejuice.
Oh, even better. What a reliable source.
If the guy told him before he shot, he wouldn't have had his little accident.
Yes. You're so...
He wouldn't have had his
little accident. I gotcha. We should listen to people who know the land when we don't, right?
Yeah.
So if we go to Australia, we should listen to the people that live there and not think that we're smarter.
Yeah, because we've never been to Australia.
And you know what?
We are dum-dums at Australia.
We are dum-dums of Australia because, you know what? If I'm being really honest, no offense, Mommy is terrified to go to Australia. Mommy does not like spiders.
Just because of spiders?
There are snakes there too, and you don't like snakes.
How big are they?
Listen, they're big. I'm just saying.
It's a place... I can just fight them like in Cobra Kai.
No. Never mind. You make no sense. So what do you think of the Bunyip? Do you think it's cool?
I'm scared.
You're scared of it? Well, it's kind of scary because you never know what it will look like. It will look like something different and you'll never know. So you could come across some animal and think it's just a regular animal and then be like, it's a Bunyip. Isn't that crazy? That's what I think the scariest thing about him is. What do you think the scariest thing about the Bunyip is? You don't know? Is the whole thing a little scary?
The ching, ching, ching.
The fact that he attacks people?
Yes.
Or they attack people? Ching, that's true. Ching, ching. All right. Well, that is the Bunyip. Thank you again to Jules for that fantastic suggestion. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, and anybody else who's taken up our advice of checking out Monstrum, there is a episode of the Bunyip on Monstrum. That's what Daddy listened to write this episode.
Where is it, Daddy? Where is it?
You'll have to get on the PBS app and check it out for yourself.
We are not sponsored by PBS, though that would be nice.
That would be nice.
Well, that is the end of the Bunyip. Thank you again for listening.
I am Dr. Emily Zarka.
You are not Dr. Emily Zarka. You are. I am Karina, and you are?
Dr. Emily Zarka.
You are?
I am Dr.
Killian.
Zarka.
And this has been the Cryptid Catalog. Until next time, remember, the cryptids are watching.
The Killians are watching.
Oh, my God. Thank you for listening to The Cryptid Catalog. This show is hosted by Karina and Killian Beamesterfer. Written, researched, and edited by Dylan Beamesterfer. And the music was created and performed by Will Shelton. Grown-ups, if you would like to help support the show, please take a second to finish out the episode and listen to some ads.
Give me a little bit of test talk.
Killian, sing the chicken wing song again.
Chicken wing, chicken wing. Hanging with my homies. Chicken wing, chicken wing. Happy macaroni.
It's chicken wing, hot dog and bologna. Chicken and macaroni. Chilling hanging with my homies.